Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. This is some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Apart from our usual ramblings, we were joined by the former Sports Illustrated writer Rick Riley, who's written a fantastic book on Donald Trump and the way he cheats at golf, what it tells us about him as a man. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was funny.
Rick was very funny, so I'm sure you'll enjoy that. Martin Kellner joined us as well. He found a way, despite his aging telly, as you're here, to watch Amazon Prime's first night in the world of Premier League football. So he gave us his considered opinion on that. And I think that probably will do you.
Yes, I think that's about
so
it.
So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And as you said, we're going to have a long chat about Amazon and their debut. But I would say that they've hired 73 commentators and analysts to cover all the games that they're doing. I think they've missed a trick not using Linvoi Primus.
Oh, yeah, would have been... Yeah, that's a good idea.
Should have done, really.
It would have been good, yeah.
Why not? And it's interesting that Nish Kumar's gig at the Lord's Taverners has made today's papers. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you haven't seen it...
He had bread rolls thrown at him.
Yeah, but it was a bit of an odd booking. It was like the WI booking Roy Chubby Brown or Jerry Sadowitz. We thought that was a good idea. Mm. I'd love to see. And the Turner Prize, I don't know if you noticed that they've decided to share it all.
Oh,
which is quite nice, actually. They decided nobody should win it, and this day is a division.
Did you have a chance? Were you on it?
No, definitely not. The four artists will share the money, but the jury chairman is a chap called Alex Farquharson. I'd love him to be knighted, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Sir Alex Farquharson.
That would be, Farky, they'd call him. You've got to be so careful with that, haven't you? His nickname.
And the Prince of Wales met the Prime Minister of Fiji, Josiah Varege Benimarama. I loved his version of Nathan Jones.
Yeah. It was very good.
Benimarama, that's his name.
He did some great cover versions, that is very true.
Marvellous. What else have I got here? Oh, yeah, I was thinking about City last night. Mm. It's a football point, but they played with a lot of freedom last night. I was thinking, it's been quite rare this season that they've played before Liverpool. They've often played after Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's much harder psychologically. When you're 11 points behind, you go into the game and they've played Liverpool and they've already won. You just think, oh, you've got to win just to stay with that gap.
No, it's true.
Whereas when you play first, psychologically, you know, if you win... You take 3 points off the gap, put the pressure back on Liverpool. And I think that was the case last night. They looked much freer to me.
Lovely goals last night, weren't they?
That flick by, what's his name? God, Gabriel Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
It was disallowed. That was brilliant. As well as his goal.
Again, you kind of get a window. We talked about this the other day. People say he's not the perfect replacement for Aguero, but, you know, certainly the second goal was quite Aguero-like, wasn't it? And, you know, when he gets game time, when he gets a run of games, I think you could probably see what he was all about. If he was playing in a team where he played every week, I think people would think more highly of him. Mm. Although I see from social media, our own Adrian Durham does already, and I'm sure we'll be chatting about that later on.
It was funny last night that I couldn't... I checked on Sunday night, I checked that I had Amazon Prime on my telly in the room where I watch football.
Yeah.
And so I went to sit down about 5 minutes ago to kick off, and it said, went to click on the football, and it went, this device does not support Amazon football. And I went, oh, no. So then I had to sort of rush about.
Well, didn't they not write to you?
Well, it was fine in the other telly. That worked fine.
Mm.
And then on the laptop, that would have been fine, but I had the wrong... out-of-date browser, so I had to download a browser.
The thing is, I've got a telly.
And I had to kick the wife out in the end.
I've got a telly in the house.
Into the other room, I should say.
Which is, oh, yeah, it's going to be a bit. Blimey, that's quite an admission to suddenly say that now after all these years. Was it 40-odd years?
45
years. I'm surprised you've come in today, Andy. Sponge. Can expunge.
I feel free.
Yeah. Can expunge that much of your life just like that because it's a game of football on. And it was, you know, I mean, to be honest, I'd say Palace Bournemouth was not the game to end a marriage. Over.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I only watched I saw the first half until City started, and then after you didn't want to go back to it.
Where was I? Yeah, so I've got a telly that's only about 4 years old in the house, but they did write. They wrote to me twice. They couldn't have done any more, Amazon, saying, basically, mate, your telly's not going to work with the football.
How do they know what telly you
get are? A Fire Stick. Because it's obviously Amazon Prime's linked up to it, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I bought it from them. I'm not sure. But anyway, they told me, so I knew the one it would work on. Did you get a bit of Michael buffering?
I didn't actually. I didn't have a Harvey Fire Stick either.
Oh, yeah. I got a tiny bit. Just at the start, people were a bit.
Really?
It was for about 20 seconds.
A little bit of
Ellie Barber was body popping. and that was right. It, though. That's all I got. And then after that, it was absolutely sweet as a nut. But I know people generally did have a few issues with it. So anyway, well, Martin Kellner, in terms of the coverage, I think a lot of people have said that it wasn't revolutionary, but it didn't set out to be. It had some very, very experienced people used to doing that sort of job. So why wouldn't you call them? Including, of course, our own Mark Saggers, who was on great form, I thought, doing the stuff in the tunnel.
I did not see
Oh, yeah, he was doing sort of the post-match interviews. And stuff on the pitch. He was excellent.
I did notice you could get stats on screen, and that thing popped up, and I couldn't get rid of it at first, and then I had to sort of click on it, then I could get rid of it. It was all a bit, you know, it was fine.
Good. Anyway, the kids, get the kids around, they'll sort you out, and they'll get all the technology
very much
working.
So, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. David Priest, former keeper turned coach, joins us a little bit later on. But before that, me and Andy are going to be fanboys for a minute because we were both big fans of the Life of Riley column at the back of Sports Illustrated for about 20-odd years. And the man that wrote it is with us in the studio to talk about his book, Commander-in-Chief. Rick Riley, good to see you, Rick.
I'm now, no matter what happens, I can't be the most hated American today in life. I know that.
Yeah, we love the column, but was it over 20 years you wrote it for, didn't you? The back page
the back page of the column. Could you get it over here?
Yeah, you could still get it. Andy used to lend me his, and so why would he get it? He was getting it all
either
the time.
Either my mum, she was living in America, she'd send it to me, or I found a place to buy it, and I found another place that sells it. You can, if you look for it, you can get it.
Right, and young people right now are going, you mean you had to go find something and just look on your phone?
Yeah, of course. No, that's why you have to really go out your way.
SI do an online version, but then one of the beauties of that magazine was the photography for a start. Mm. You know, and that's not the same online as having it in your hand and the size, the format.
Yeah, I did that column for years and years. And I can remember the one that never got read was the swimsuit issue.
Yeah.
I think I did that 5 or 6 times. I never had anybody. No one ever got to the print part.
They weren't interested. Never got to the anything. Back page.
I wrote the thing in German once, and no one knows.
So let's talk about.
One time, we wrote the whole column on the back of a model named Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the back page.
Oh,
and
okay.
Still nobody got it. No. Nobody cares.
Is it coincidence you're in town the same time as the president or not?
It is coincidence. I'm this book, Commander in Chief, is up for the William Hill Award tomorrow. Yeah. And so I'm coming in to see that. And I've never got to meet my publisher. And it's cool. And it's the book's gone great in London and the UK. And the Times named it their favorite sports book of the year. And it's just a lot of laughs about how this guy cheats. For instance, he tells people he's won 20 club championships in golf. And this is how I got to write in the book, because I said, he forgot he told me, because he was campaigning, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. That's against the best players. He forgot he told me, because I've known him 35 years.
Yeah.
Then he wins all these club championships whenever he buys a course, plays the first round with him and Melania. And unless she gets hot, he's going to be the club champ. So he's won about 12 of those. And then I started looking into it. Some he'd win, like, He won one when he was in Singapore with Kim Jong-un, and they were playing in Florida, and he called in and said, well, make me the winner. I beat that guy all the time. One time he won one in Philly, and the thing was in New Jersey. One time the course wasn't even open, and yet he goes around and he gets plaques. Like, who are you kidding? But apparently he kids pretty well.
It's also, you're right about the lack of etiquette as well, golf etiquette. I mean, golf is all etiquette, but he does things, drive his car over greens. He just doesn't care, does he?
You guys would hate this. You guys would hate this. Do you realize that he has his caddies carry 4-inch green tees so that they can hurry ahead, tee up the ball in the rough? He'll hit driver out of the rough. I mean, do you know anybody that cheats on this way?
That is cheating. That is.
Oh, my God.
That's unbelievable.
He kicks the ball so much that his caddies call him Pele.
There's also some other stuff there. Somebody thinks they saw him at an invisible ball. He kind of looked like he was playing out the bunker. A ball never came out. Then suddenly he was on the fairway and a ball seemed to drop out of his trouser leg or out of his hand or something.
My friend saw this. He thought everybody was on the other side of the green and weren't watching, but my friend was back up way of the... And he faked a chip shot with no ball.
Hmm.
Then he comes running up to the hole. He's got it in his right hand. I knocked it in the hole, guys. I made an eagle. And of course, my friend's like, no, you didn't. I saw. No, I knocked it in. I mean, I think there's a special place in hell for people who not only cheat on their ball, he kicks your ball into the bunker.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Wow. Mike Tirico, the famous American announcer, said, yeah, I hit this great shot. We get to the green. It's not there. We finally find it in a bunker 50 feet from where it was supposed to be. And later, the caddy told us, no, he kicked yours into the bunker. All to win $5.
Has
the guy's supposedly worth billions.
Yeah.
Has he got any golfing ability?
He's not bad. He's got a big swing. He hits it a long way. But he chips like Edward Scissorhands. He cannot chip. And the other thing is, it's really easy to shoot 75 if you never putt out.
Yeah.
Like, you know... You know what a Winnebago is?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
His circle of love is the size of a Winnebago. He's like, I'm picking this up. When I played with him, he took a gimme chip in, which I never heard of. We're playing a $10 score bet, whoever's the lowest score. And I got lucky and hit it in like a foot for birdie.
Yeah.
He's laying off the green in par because I guess that makes this good. He picks it up. And I'm like, Donald, did you just take a gimme chip in? He goes, I would have never missed that.
Does he admit, when you play him, when you're kind of off duty, does he say, I know, it's just me? Is he kind of, or not? Or does he carry this bravado on kind of in that off-the-record environment?
All the time he's like this. Yeah. All the time. And in fact, everyone in the book you'll see, everyone who's caught him, he says the same thing. Hey, I cheat on my wife, I cheat on my taxes. You don't think I'm going to cheat on golf? It's just like crazy, so brazen.
Has he read the book? Has he seen the book?
First of all, he doesn't read books.
Well, somebody's read it to him. Melania's read it to him.
Is he aware of the book?
He's aware because my friend is one of his caddies when he comes to Los Angeles. And he said they were playing and walking down the fairway and Trump called a buddy of mine. And he says, puts it on speaker. And on speaker, Trump goes, nobody talk to that jerk Riley. Nobody better talk to that guy. So he's aware of it. But what could I? I'm dying for a tweet, right?
Yeah, you kind of troll him on Twitter. You keep saying, "Hey, Donna, what about this? What about that? What about this course?"
Because
when
he says
he's
a 2.8 handicap.
Yeah,
you know Jack Nicklaus' handicap right now is 3.5. Who would you take now? If you look at his, because you can look up his handicap on the on the computer, and he's posted over the last 8 years 20 scores, and yet he played 100. He's played 161 times since now he's up to 200 and some. So he's just picking his favorite scores.
Yeah.
He's so full of hot air, you could float him in the Macy's parade.
There is a serious side to this, of course, because the full title of the book is Commander-in-Chief, How Golf Explains Trump. And we shouldn't forget that he is the president of the United States. So how does his golf feed into his presidency?
Well, he tells people he's a winner when he's not. Mm. You only seem to get anywhere with him if you play golf. So Shinzo Abe from Japan has got his ear, but Angela Merkel's like, looking in at the donut store. She can't get in. I always wonder what you guys think. Do you guys think we all cheat at golf and cheat at everything like this guy? Because we don't.
No.
No, and so, for instance, he had a course. He was part of a course in Puerto Rico. And it all went belly up, and he left in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then when Puerto Rico has a hurricane, he seems to not give a damn about it. Well, maybe he didn't want people to write about it. He got busted trying to research and get a site for a golf course in Cuba against the American embargo in Cuba. And now all of a sudden when he becomes president, he tightens up the whole ability to go to Cuba now for Americans. Maybe he didn't want people to remember that story that Newsweek wrote. There's a lot. He's in bed with China on two courses in Indonesia, one being designed by Tiger Woods and one by Phil Mickelson. The government of China is doing all the concrete. No one seems to want to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's real.
The interesting thing is the book, obviously, if you kind of confirms what you feel about Trump. Yeah, he cheats at golf, he cheats at everything. That's your worldview. But his base, I would imagine, secretly admire him for it. They quite admire the fact.
How do you explain his popularity? Yeah.
Well, you're right. His base is about 38% of the country. Mm. And when I go around the country talking about the book, there's always a guy in a red hat who says, so what? So he cheats at golf. Everybody cheats at golf. Like, no, 90% of people play by the rules except for a mulligan on the first hole. But also it matters. I mean, golf is like bicycle shorts. It reveals a lot about a man. And what it reveals about him is that he's crooked.
Yeah.
I played a lot of golf with Arnold Palmer. And he'd always say, I never play golf. I never get in business with a guy until I've played a round of golf with him. And I asked him why. He said, because if he's going to cheat me on the course, he's going to cheat me in real life. And that's the point. It's a window to your soul. And his soul reveals a guy that is going to do whatever he has to do to win. Cheat, lie, make it up, whatever. And it's... There's only one good story I have about him. And I remember one time we played, and he dropped me off on Fifth Avenue in New York. Yeah. And I said, you want to play again tomorrow, Donald? And he says, usually for most people, one day of me is enough. And if I could see him now, I'd go, one term of you is enough, buddy.
You'll be aware, though, Rick, that he's in a great tradition of golf cheat presidents. So Don Van Natt has been a guest on the show a few times, and Don wrote the book about cheating presidents, and you've kind of, of course, have brought it right up to date with Donald. But
I played with Clinton.
Yeah, he was the Mulligan King, wasn't he?
He was the Billigan King.
Oh, the Billigan King.
The
Billigan King.
I think Don came up with that word.
Yeah, yeah.
So unlike Trump, who will, I think the day I played with him recently, seven mulligans.
Yeah.
Clinton will hit his shot and play it, and then hit 5-6 more to practice, which is illegal.
Yeah.
But then he plays the original ball, but then he can never remember which his original ball is. Like, which is my original ball? Yeah. And the Secret Service, they all want to get ambassador to Sweden or something. I think it's right by the pin, Mr. President. And so that's kind of a different kind of cheating. But yeah, that's cheating.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, there's a Costa promotion today, Costa Coffee, for anybody called Terry, basically. They're going to give away a Terry's Chocolate Orange Muffin to anyone called Terry, Terry, T-E-R-I, or T-E-R-R-I, in London, Yorkshire, Leeds and Sheffield. About John Terry.
He can pop in if he wants. Not certainly as a surname, but they are giving that away, are they?
Yeah.
Only in those four places, though.
That's what it says in my paper.
Okay, fair enough. Also in a paper I picked up today. Could you do this? I mean, would you do this, Andy? You've got some front, but would you do this? Nadia Sawala, the actress and TV presenter, was in the Metro today. She said she got recognised. She was in a cafe, and a woman started looking at her in the cafe and looked at her again, looked at her again. She thought, she spotted who I am.
Yeah.
So in the end, the woman came over. She said, "Oh, like, would you mind?" And she said, "Oh, I've got an autograph." I said, "No, not at all." So she, best wishes, Nadia Sawala, wrote it on a bit of paper. Yeah. Then the woman went and sort of sat down. Then she looked at it and looked back at her. Then she went back over and she said, "No, it's okay." She said, "I don't need this. I thought you were Helena Bonham Carter."
Oh, for goodness sake.
Just let it go.
That's disgusting, isn't it? Honestly,
no,
people.
I don't need this.
God,
can you say that to somebody?
Are rubbish, aren't they, really? What's wrong with these people?
You've got some front.
I was like a little... No, I'm not a man that has an online account. That's because I'm a certain age. And I like going into the betting shop.
You do, Do you just love that? You'd love prefer the old spit and sawdust.
Give them a bit of cash if I win. Take a bit of cash back. I always find with the old online thing, if you win or lose, you don't even notice it. It just keeps going round and round. You never actually take the money out.
Okay.
I'm sure some people do, but I found that's what happened when I had an online account.
Okay.
So I went into the betting shops there. I thought I'd have a little bet on tonight's game. And I wrote out the slip, gave the bloke the money. He went, Oh, no, you can't do that. You've got to put it in at that machine over there. Oh, really? Okay. So I go to the machine, press the thing. It doesn't work. Then I find the thing, can't find it. Then the bloke has to come out from behind the counter.
Yeah.
He's doing it. Then he's trying to get the money in. Then he won't let me do it on a card because you have to have some different thing. Then I get the cash in there. He said, oh, I can't give you the change from here. I've got to go back round and give you the change.
Yeah.
I went, this is really an upgrade. This is really an improvement.
What you need, Andy, what you need is one of them online accounts.
I do.
Because it's so much easier.
I'm fascinated when people in companies think, I'll tell you, it's a bit like the same thing with parking meters now that you can only do park and phone. You can't use money.
Okay.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Mm.
It takes so much money.
I've got this all on an app, Andy. So it's easier than cash. You've got to keep up, Andy. This is a cashless world we're dealing. I know you like to reel off sort of 50s like you're running a fairground, like you're king of the carny. But you can't do that, Andy. You're living in a cashless world, mate. The world's not going to change around you.
I know it's not going to change. I know it's not going back. But it's funny how it isn't an improvement. For example, here we've got a very nice canteen here.
It is an improvement. Look at this, a group of 15-year-olds in the studio next. They're loving this cashless world.
They don't know it's an improvement because they don't remember what it was like before when you could actually buy something. Like, for example, when I went down to the canteen on Friday during this sort of drama.
They can still
here.
Buy things.
Oh, yeah, but you have to have it on your card. So you have to go, I wanted to buy a packet of crisps. They went, oh, no, we don't do crisps for money. You've got to go.
But someone else bought them for you, so you blagged the packet of crisps.
And then Andy Zaltzman was still here because no one could leave.
Did he buy you a packet of crisps?
No, I felt sorry for him, so I said, I'll get you something to eat, Andy. So then I had to go and put the money on my pass.
Yeah.
And how long did he think? Why is this better?
They sell Werther's down there, do they?
I think it's... Honestly, if you could convince me it's better, I'm all for things being better.
In many cases, it is better.
Well, in many cases, it is. Things
it's
like
so much
Netflix
easier.
And all that, but
so
that's, well, that's not better.
Wandering around with cash, making yourself a target.
Not really, is it?
Another Christmas staple, Andy, I've noticed, apart from the sprout shortage. Yeah. This happens every year now. Yeah, your chocolate tubs, your roses, your Quality Street, your heroes, your celebrations.
They're shrinking.
They're shrinking, yeah. You get less. I think there's three less sweets than there was 5 years ago. That has become, every year that story does the rounds.
It's always some absolutely fat person complaining about it. You know, they're doing you a favour. Really?
The No S Sherlock survey, Boffin survey of the day, or scientists have shown that dogs identify certain words when spoken by both someone they know and a stranger. University of Sussex researchers looked at whether pet dogs could recognise words when spoken by a number of people, including those who they were familiar and unfamiliar with. But I think that's true. So maybe to prove that point, that's not a massive surprise. If you're sitting there at home with your dog now and on the sofa and I go, Biscuit! Biscuit! My dog, certainly, old ears are gone up and she has run. She's run to the treats tin. Treats! See, your dog's doing it as well. And your dog doesn't know me from Adam. But that'll work. Or squirrels! So your dog's just looked up, hasn't it? That's what goes on. It's easy. You didn't need a survey, or you didn't need a bit of research to tell us this. We all knew that dogs recognise certain keywords, normally involving food or squirrels.
Yeah, that's true. You didn't need that at all.
No.
It's a brilliant survey, isn't it? Another survey says the full English is dying out.
Is that right?
People opt for avocado.
Well, nobody's got any cash, have they? That's what it is.
I've got an app that allows me to buy avocados online.
I think a great many of the people that will be... Your little thing about the cashless world, the people that aren't quite so happy about it are taxi drivers. they're not massive fans, I wouldn't think, of the cashless world.
Oh, yes, that may well be true. And I can't believe I missed the 155 at Haydock.
Nor can I.
The Conservatory Insulation's Novice's Chase.
Yeah. See, the missy said the dog's just gone crazy.
Yeah,
but that was my voice.
It's your voice.
I really need confirmation that another dog immediately looked at you and was looking for a biscuit, biscuit. And somebody was looking for a biscuit. That slight sense of urgency in the voice. Mm. Like, unless you say it like that, the dog thinks...
Probably triggered off a load of Alexas as well.
It could do. That's possible. You got anything else?
Could do.
Yep.
What have I got? Oh, yeah, Victoria Beckham. No wonder she's losing a fortune. Have you seen this? She's brought out a T-shirt.
Do we know that's the case?
Yes, we do know that's the case. Huge losses. David had to sort of come in and the whole thing...
Yeah. He's working in the shop now, is he?
Absolutely. No, she's in flogging a T-shirt for £390.
Wow, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
That's a lot of money. I'm not sure that she's got the cachet to sell a T-shirt for £390.
Now, another survey, Andy. I think you'd like this. Brits are divided over their favourite Haribo sweet. Well, they're divided over quite a lot of things far more important than that. Yeah. But I'm in no position to get involved. The only time I could have weighed in on that was when Mickey Gray was doing Jim White's show on a regular basis. Because Mickey, we'd often have a few stray Haribo,
wouldn't he? Yeah,
Mickey, he'd have his fill, give him his little sugar rush for the 3 hours, and then he'd say, oh, boys, and he'd just leave us a few, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But if Mickey's not coming in with Jim, we're Haribo free, unfortunately.
Is there a favourite? Has somebody decided on
a
favourite?
Well, Brummies prefer the cola bottle, apparently. Mm. And in Norwich, they opt for the ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Guardian are running a thing, which I'm not happy about this either. It's called, they did it last year. It's the countdown to the 100 best women players, 100 best male players.
And yeah.
I can't think of anything more pointless in a team game than this. It's so, apparently it's all worked out and it's lots of people vote and there's lots of stats and everything. But in the end, you know, you just think, it's pointless, pointless exercise. I don't know why people get so, bloke was tweeting, oh, I'm so excited to be doing this again this year. Who cares? Goodness sake.
Oh, you're a miserable man.
No, it's pointless. It's a team game.
You're a miserable man.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The big question, Andy, is if Amazon ever got the boxing, would Michael Buffer? I say, would Michael Buffer?
Yes, very good.
They've got the football, of course, and they kicked off their coverage last night. What was it like for Martin Kellner, who joins us every Friday with a week of sport on TV, gave us the brilliant screen break for many years in The Guardian? Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. Can I just say that I love Andy doing the competitions. It's my favourite thing on the radio. You know, when they ask me, you know, people say the Archers or Desert Island.
Yeah.
For me, it is Andy Jacobs doing the competition conditions and exclusions.
It is. It's one of the great joys of broadcasting, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
people
stop
it.
What they're doing. They start all get round the radio as a family. So,
what did I make of it?
How was it for you, Martin?
Well, I said it was fine. It was absolutely fine. I couldn't understand. I was looking at Twitter, and I couldn't understand people going on about Twitter about the fact that it was 45 seconds behind or whatever. So people were getting goal alerts, obviously, on their phones before they'd seen the goal go in. So it was ruining it for them. Stupid. I mean, it was absolutely fun, but I think the football is the least part of it. I mean, what is interesting about it is the way it sort of changed the whole game. I mean, you've probably seen the announcement this week. Sky are building these film studios. They're going to spend £3 billion invested over the next 5 years, 2,000 jobs. It's going to be, you know, like the old days of Hollywood, really, being created by Sky, because obviously they have to change their game plan. Mm. And it was sort of came over very, very graphically to me, because I have a big ass television in my lounge at home.
Is it cathode ray or have you gone flat screen?
Sorry?
Have you gone flat screen, have you, these days? You gone plasma?
No, I'm not gone plasma. I say it's a big-ass TV, but it's a big-ass sort of slightly older TV, because it was put in there for... I didn't buy the damn thing. It was about £1,000 at the time. But it was put in there by Sky. because, as you were kind enough to mention, I used to write this award-winning column for The Guardian for a long time.
Okay, it must be an old
TV.
Set.
Yeah, blimey. Is this cathode Ray Houghton? That is definitely.
Yes, cathode Ray Houghton.
Do you still bang the top of it? When it was slightly streaming badly, were you banging the top of it,
Martin?
The
indoor area you move about.
Very much so. Anyway, so I have this telly, okay?
Yeah.
It was put in by Sky because they were introducing 3D.
Mm, wow.
So because I wrote this column, they said, you know, you have to watch the football in 3D. So they came round to the house, shoved in a whole load of equipment. What it means now is that because the football's on Amazon, I can't get it on my TV. So I have to watch it on the computer.
Right.
And I certainly can't get it in 3D. So, but it sort of illustrated to me the way the whole game has changed. I was watching The Irishman on Netflix, the film, which is nonsense. But I was watching, you know, Al Pacino chewing the carpet. But I was watching that, and I thought to myself, you know, years ago I'd have gone to the pictures to watch this.
Yeah.
Or the dollies, as we used to call it.
Yeah. I don't think they're even called the pictures anymore.
I just want to say, did you notice and maybe it was me, but I could see on my TV and I was watching on the laptop, a shadowy logo on the left-hand side of the picture as you look at it. Was that just... I kept thinking, have I got something wrong with my telly? But, I mean, it was definitely there.
I didn't notice a shadowy logo.
I didn't notice a shadowy logo.
That's his name on my telly.
Yeah.
Was there a fly on it? Was it a fly-shaped logo?
No.
Was it a moth-shaped logo?
I'll get one of last night's games up on my computer, you'll see.
Okay. The gossamer wings of a butterfly. Keep going. Sorry, Martin.
No, it's all right. No, I didn't notice any shadowy logo. I mean, and they had all the proper people. I mean, they have the analysis is very much the same as it would be on broadcast TV. But to hear Peter Drury doing the commentating, he's the only man I know who uses the word sumptuous. All the time. It always says something of a sumptuous pass or a sumptuous goal. So I like him. I like his use of language and everything, and he's a good bloke all round. So it was good to hear Peter Drew doing the conversation. But the other people were the people you expect, and I presume it will be the same tonight. Staggered kickoff times, quite good, you know, gave you a chance to watch a bit of both matches. So they'll have work tonight, be a bit different. The problem is my son supports Manchester United, so he wants to watch that match.
Oh.
I obviously want to watch Wolves-West Ham, so he promises that he's going to get our old-fashioned TV fixed up with the app so we can... I think most people these days have smart TVs, so it's actually, you know, almost like a new TV stream for them. But it is a real problem for Sky, isn't it? It's a real problem for Sky. It's also something to think about. Sky, who had been, well, not a monopoly, but really had, were the main player for a long, long time. It sort of changed. It's almost like one of those, when Channel 4 started or BBC 2 started or Colour TV. You remember any of, or indeed talking pictures.
Oh, yeah, true.
But it is one of those moments, isn't it? Because it's something entirely new. I mean, I'm watching it old style on my computer. But it's a perfectly decent, you know, picture, and it didn't buffer or anything. And it was very much unusual for me to be watching a football match that wasn't some hooky feed from South Africa or somewhere.
I'm sure you wouldn't be doing that, Martin.
No, of course not.
Not your style.
That shadowy logo isn't there on the replay.
Yeah, the shadowy. Are you sure it was a fly, Andy?
Maybe it's my eyes. I've got cataracts or something. Maybe.
And it was at that moment I realised I had cataracts. Shadowy logo in the corner of the screen. Fantastic.
I've got to watch out for that tonight, definitely.
There is still match of the day. I thought there is a match of the day tonight at 10:45. So people will still get... They'll still be able to catch up with the goals if they've not Amazon Prime. But you do feel that the other streaming services will be looking at this as closely as BT and Sky, won't they? But they'll be thinking, will they want to get involved in this?
Well, I mean, clearly it's not about football anymore, is it?
No.
It's about selling the subscriptions to the services and whatever they can do. And Sky have, they're going to put this investment into a huge movie studio. So presumably they're going to go back to what was their original plan when Sky first started. Not being that well documented, but their original plan was to sell the service through movies. Mm. That's what Sky thought were the channels that would sell until they found that when cricket was being played in the West Indies, there was, you know, that's where they picked up a load of their subscriptions in the early days. And I think that's what it's all about now. It's about selling subscriptions. It's not about football at all. And other sports may very well get frozen out. Yeah, I'm thinking about rugby league, who haven't got a TV deal. Is a sort of streaming service going to want to bother with a sport that isn't, you know, as mainstream as football is? It's going to be, they're going to have to think again about where they sell. Everybody is. It's a major, major move, this. And obviously over Christmas, it's going to be more obvious because they're showing every match, isn't it, on Boxing Day?
That's right, yeah, they'll be showing that. It's a three-year contract.
Sky have given up rugby league.
Have they definitely given it up, Martin?
Well, I don't know for sure. No. I don't know for sure. But I think talks are still going on. But I do believe there is difficulty in finding another TV deal for Super League from when the current one ends, which is quite, you know, usually got it all wrapped up by now, but I don't think they have.
Okay, that's a shame.
Maybe check that out a bit, because I'm only going on what
we will. This is, what Martin just said there, we'd be surprised, because they made a huge commitment to rugby league. Maybe the issue is over the nature of how much rugby league feel it's getting, but I'm sure, I mean, as you said, you know, I'm sure they'll come to some kind of arrangement and it'll have a presence somewhere.
I think they've got some deals in place with the BBC as regards you know, the Cup and that
Challenge
sort of thing.
Cup, yeah.
But I'm not sure, Challenge Cup, I'm not sure what the Super League deal is. But it'd be well worth... in fact, I'll check it out myself and I'll tell you on Friday.
Okay, do that. Fantastic, yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I know, I've got this idea of Martin's telly being like one of those very deep ones, you know, the kind of smoke coming out the back of it. But it probably isn't like that, so... Okay, thanks ever so much for listening. And we will return 1 o'clock tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.